Good to see everybody here. New friends and friends from my past. Okay. Haven't seen Ed in a long time. And boy, I told my wife a few weeks ago, I said, you won't believe this. And she said, what? I said, I actually miss Ed. And I said that, didn't I not, Amy? I said that. Because me and Ed spent a lot of time together hunting and other things. And we had some good times. We had some bad times. I mean, there's no me hiding that. We had some bad times. But I thank God that he's here. I thank God that he's in the house of God. Just like the rest of us here, you know, wanting to hear the Lord. And it's wonderful. Song. I'm so into what the Lord does and how he opens services. And the music that's chosen, a lot of people don't understand the real importance of that. The music to get a service going gets people's heart prepared for what God has to say. And when I read one of the songs that we just sung, we see at page 361, when I see the blood, verse 4, and it says, oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood. And, you know, the Lord gave me this message the other day called Compassionate Jesus. How about that? And I'm just telling you, the Lord has a way with things. He knows. He gets into those song leaders' hearts. He gets into those song leaders' minds. And he says, I need that song to be done on Sunday. And then he puts it on the preacher's heart. And that preacher comes in and says, the Lord gave me this message. Right. How about that? Yeah. That's just how God works, because he's good like that. Amen. And so today we're going to learn a little bit about a compassionate Jesus. And so compassion in your King James Bible is in there 41 times total. Okay. 21 times in your Old Testament, 20 times in the New Testament. The word compassion was first used in Exodus 2:6. If we want to turn there real quick, and this is just a little treat that the Lord had given me, Exodus 2, verse 6. It's Genesis, Exodus 2:6, and it says, and when she had opened it, talking about Pharaoh's daughter, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. And said, this is one of the Hebrew children. And we know, as the story goes on, that God would use Moses to deliver Israel. How about that? Because somebody showed compassion and took that little baby and made it hers. God had a plan for that baby, even in that basket floating. And because of the compassion that God put on her heart for Moses, Moses was delivered out of there, raised as Pharaoh's son, and then it was able to go back in and rescue the children of Israel. And the last time you'll see the word compassion in your Bible is in Titus 1, verses 20 through 25. And here it's a little different thing, but not much. If you turn to Titus, let me get there myself. Titus chapter 1, verse 20 through 25. I don't think I have the right thing written down. I don't. I don't have the right verse written down, and I'm sorry about that. But here's what it is. Titus is talking about... let me look again. I know I have it written down here. Anyway, God had compassion on us for salvation. This is what he's talking about in verses 20, 25. Jude 1:22. Let's see it. That might be... you might be exactly right. You might be exactly right. Jude, what is it?
1:20.
Let me see.
22.
But you, beloved, building yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling him out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto the him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God of our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And I ask you to excuse me, that's exactly the verse that I was looking for. I just wrote it down as Titus. It's Jude 1, verses 20 through 25. And here God has had compassion on us. Because God had that compassion on us, now he wants us to go out and have compassion on others. And doing what? Pulling them out of the fire. Saving them. Just like Moses. When that compassion was showed on him, God used him to deliver Israel. Now God has saved us. He's using us to lead people to Jesus Christ. Because he's a compassionate God. And that's how it goes in your Bible there. And I just like doing word studies. It's always been something of interest in me. And that's the reason why. And so, because God shows us things when you do word studies. It shows you those type of things. And what does compassion really mean? Well, if a person really wants to know what it means, it takes some work to run that word through your Bible, okay? And when you run that word through your Bible, by the time you're done, you'll understand what the word compassion means, okay? And so I want to share a little bit about the compassion. And we see here, let me give a little testimony. Proverbs 7 is a picture of the world, okay? Proverbs 7 is a picture of the world and how enticing it is and how much it wants to take us and get us into the flesh and wants to get us into our sinful nature and get us out there doing those things that we shouldn't do. And then when it's all done, what's it do? It spits us out and doesn't want nothing to do with us anymore, okay? Once the world is done with us, they're finished with us, you're no good, you're the lowest of the lowest, you're a scumbag, whatever else they want to call you, that's what the world does to us once we give into it. Once it's all finished with us, there we are alone. There we are alone, and we look in turn and go, well, what do I have left? What is there left? I have nothing left. And it's a shame that most people have to come to that point in their life before they can look and finally realize, oh, Jesus is the answer. Yeah. How about the psychiatrist and the psychologist, and instead of saying, Dale, I don't know any more hope for you. What if they would have told me, Pastor? What if they said, the only hope you have now is Jesus? What if they would have told me that, Greg? What if they would have told me that years ago, that the only hope that I will ever have is Jesus Christ? Why didn't they diagnose me with missing Jesus Christ? See, if they would have diagnosed me with that years ago, I wouldn't have been in the position that I was in for all those years. Okay? But they didn't. You know why? Because mankind doesn't have a clue. Mankind doesn't have a clue how to help a person. Here, let me give you these pills, and let me give you that pill. You know what it says? That woman with the issue of blood for 12 years says she went to the physicians and grew worse. She was never made better. They made her suffer things and go through things and take things and drink this and take that. And it says it only grew worse. There was never a help. Okay? King Ahab, I think it was Ahab, who had a diseased feet. Who? Asa. Had feet, diseased feet. And so it says that he's coming to the end of his life. He's got disease in his feet. And instead of seeking the Lord, he seeks the physicians. And what's it say in the next verse? That God killed him. Because he didn't seek God. He went after the physicians. He went after the worldly things and ended up dying. Why? Because he was made worse. Things on this earth is never going to make us any better. It's not going to help us. And everybody's searching and going after the things of the world. But you know what? There's a compassionate Jesus. And he's waiting. He's waiting for us to turn to him. And my goodness, after all the jail time, after all the prison time, and after all the alcohol and the drugs, to end up the same person that I've always been. With no hope. There was nothing to rescue me. I was always going down the same path, wondering, how did I get here again? Because I'm doing the same things over and over again, and I'm expecting a different outcome, and it never comes that way. Always ended up in the same place. Got a compassionate Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 86:25, and it says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. And I just want you to know, every time they just start describing God, you'll see at the end of the word there, it always says truth at the end. You know why? Because God wants us to know he's the truth. He's telling the truth. It's not a lie. He's got no reason to lie. God wouldn't save. He wouldn't tell a lie to save me from the flames of hell. He wouldn't compromise that. He is the truth. Jesus Christ says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. So many people are trying to come in this way and come in that way and come in upside down and backward. They'll do anything to get in. But they can't get in unless it's by Jesus Christ. Why? It's his compassion that he's had on us. Why? Because he's a God full of compassion. I should have been dead long ago. I should have been dead a long time ago, man. When I was back there living that gang life, I mean, I should have been dead. I should have been, there was been hits put on me and everything else, and I should have been lying dead. But God uses that for a testimony. How about that? I should have been dead from the drugs at 18 years old. I was going to my first rehab at the age of 18. And they do a physical before they put you in detox. And at 18 years old, the doctor told me, you already got a touch of cirrhosis. You need to stop drinking. 18 years old. I should have been dead. Got down to 118 pounds, smoking meth, full of sores, man, dying out there on the street. Skinny, had nowhere to go. Should have been dead. Should have been dead from the breaking into people's houses in their home and stealing from people and robbing them and everything else. And I should have been dead out there on the streets. But we see we have a God here who is full of compassion. How about that? He's full of compassion, and it says gracious and long-suffering. Thank God he's more long-suffering than human beings are. Because you know why? Human beings gave up on me a long time ago. But Jesus Christ never gave up. You know what happened to me, Miss Betsy? When the world finally gave up on me, Jesus Christ took over. How about that? When I finally said, well, the world's not going to help me anymore. I got nowhere else to turn. Might as well try this Jesus guy. Woo! If I could have done that many years ago, it would have saved me a lot of heartache. But thank God it's for his compassion. Thank God for his truth. Thank God for his truth. You know, it was hard. It was hard for me to trust anybody or anything. It was hard for me to... What do you mean, trust what? You want me to trust who? You see, God had to work a miracle in me. He had to work the miracle of belief. I'm a firm believer that a person cannot trust Jesus as their Savior. They have to believe first. And your Bible is very clear on that. Very, very clear on you have to believe to get saved. Over and over again. And then guess what happens? Then God, because he is so gracious and merciful and compassionate, he teaches us how to trust. Teaches us how to trust. How does he do that? By allowing things to happen. Little things to come. Little tests. Little things to go on. Little troubles. And you know what? They get bigger and bigger. And you know what? God's trying to show us. Greg, if God ever left you in your comfort zone, you'd never learn anything. So he's got to take us out of our comfort zone so we can hear. You ever notice when you're in trouble with God or something's going on in your life, you draw closer to him? You're more apt to listen. His words stand out to you more than ever. Because God's trying to teach you something. God's trying to show us. Now, hey, I got to listen. I need to shut up and listen. Need to turn the world down at that time. Need to turn God up because it's a still small voice. We won't be able to hear him. John 11:35, you all know the verse. And Jesus wept. You know why he wept? Because he was full of compassion. Not only did Jesus weep over his friends, but he also for lost sinners in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, and it says, and others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit on a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. He that hath ears, let him hear. Jesus raised his voice, he who has ears, let him hear. And I bet you had tears running down his face, because he wants everybody to hear. He wants them to listen. Everybody's so in tune to hearing. But everybody has forgotten how to listen to what God is saying. You hear the sound of my voice. You all can hear it. I'm a pretty loud guy. But that will never change your life. When you finally get to the point where you'll listen, that will change your life because listening demands an action. Belief demands an action. And God had to show me that. He said, Dale, if you really believe in me, your life's going to reflect it. Over and over again, I hear all the time, yes, I believe in God. Of course I believe in God. And I look at their life and go, my goodness, I'm glad I don't believe that way. I'm glad I don't believe like that person does. Because your life will reflect what you believe. It's all there is to it. People try to hide stuff. And I work with some people, man. Trust me, I work with some people. And they try to hide what they're doing in their life. And I go, my goodness, don't you know all you're doing is exposing yourself? The only one who can't see it is you. You can't see it, and God wants to show that to them. You know, that's part of God's compassion is showing people what's really going on inside. You go, well, gosh, isn't that kind of cruel? No, it's cruel for him to leave you there, which he doesn't. Could you imagine? God's making these promises to me, and he's going to leave me the same person I've always been. You call that compassion on somebody?
having compassion on somebody, you're going to help me out of this thing. You're going to teach me something different. You're going to teach me a different way. My life is going to have peace. My life is going to have joy. The struggles that I go through aren't going to be as hard as they used to be. I'm going to be able to face these things. Things are going to change in my life. Old ways are going to leave and new ones are going to come in. That's somebody who has compassion on somebody. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's what he has. If you'll just hear, listen to what he's got to say, put it to work in your life. That's what it says. It says compassion. Luke 8:10 says, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. God wants to give us the understanding. He wants us to see. He strives with us. He puts people in our lives. Things come in our lives to get our attention, to wake us up. You know what? We're too busy looking the other way. We're too busy trying to get the help of the world. We're too busy trying to turn to them. We're too busy trying to do everything else. And we finally get to that place where we listen. Thank God, 6.5, almost 7 years ago, I listened to what God had to say. I finally understood what it was like knowing that compassion of the cross. That compassion on the cross that he had for me. That I did not deserve. I deserved to die and go to hell. I mean, a hot hell. And because of his compassion, I'm a saved man of God today. How about that? What a blessing. Because of his compassion. And notice here, I told you about Psalm 86:25. It says, God's full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. But guess what? We're seeing that attribute in Jesus Christ now. How about that? You know why? He is God. He's got that compassion. Luke 22:42 says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done. He chose the Father's will. Why? Because God is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You know why? He had that compassion. What if he changed his mind? What if he said, I don't want to go to that cross? What if he said, I want to come off of that cross? He said, nevertheless, not my will. You see, Jesus Christ put his will aside and said, Father, I want to do it because Del Mori needs that. You know why? He's not slack concerning his promise as some men are. All the promises that are made to people. And all it does is cause destruction in these people's life, and we cannot listen, get them to listen to the gospel ever again. Can't get them to come into the house of God. Can't get them to get into the Bible. And I've done it. I've done it with my own family. I've done it when I was in prison. I would write these beautiful verses. Oh, look at me. I've changed. And look at, come out to do the same thing, and it destroyed them. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his compassion. That he would take and still save me in the hopes that my family would get saved, as we just read in Jude. You know, God saved you to pull people out of the fire. Merrily, Autumn, you keep your singing it because your song might touch somebody's heart one day and pull them out of the fire. You don't know what God has for you guys. There's people out there because God's compassion will take that person. He'll take Edmont because there's people out there only you can touch, Ed. Only you will ever be able to make an impact in their life. Ever. I'm 100 pastors. I mean, the most godly men in the world can go up to a person and not have an inkling on that person. But then one other person, one lowly person like myself, ex-convict, ex-gang member, drug addict, alcohol, could walk up there and say, hey, man, Jesus loves you. And that person will fall to their knees and say, I need it. Because that's his compassion. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And it says that God, the God of all mercies, comforteth us while we go through trouble. Why? That we can comfort others. You know there's things that we'll go through in life that is going to help others. It's not for our comfort, but to help others. That's what it says. Why? This is compassion. He knows each and every person, how they can be reached. He knows how they can be touched. He knows who they'll listen to. He knows what they won't listen to and will listen to. And he knows that, and he has compassion. And he's trying to reach out to the people. They just don't want it.
He's a compassionate God. It says Matthew 18:27, that Jesus Christ is going to be speaking in a parable here, but I want you to know he's teaching them. And he says this, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed and forgave his debt. Jesus was showing this parable that we owed a debt that we could not pay. And because of his compassion, he paid that debt for us. And you know what it says? We've been loosed. We've been loosed. We've been made free not to be bound anymore by those things we once were. Don't have to go back to those things anymore. Jesus Christ said, hey, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free is totally different than being set free. They're totally two different words. They're even spelled different. But I'm sure you guys know that. And I'm going to explain a little bit. Set, S-E-T. In order for me to set these glasses down, they have already had to be in existence. They already had to be made, or else I couldn't set them anywhere. But to be made free, these glasses did not exist until that very moment that I made them. That's a big difference. God, Dale, you can either be set free, or I can make you free. God made me free. He gave me something that I never had until that moment. He touched my life at salvation and made me free. He made me free. He didn't set me free anymore. You see, when I got set free, I kept going out there doing the same things over and over again. But now that I'm made free, that has all stopped. That cycle has stopped. Now I'm going out there doing new things. Why? Because he put a new song in my heart. He gave me a new life. He's given me the peace that passes all understanding. And by the way, if you've never had the joy of the peace that passes all understanding, you have no clue what you're missing. You have no clue what you're missing, because I'm just telling you, there's been mist in the midst of turmoil, and I mean absolute turmoil in me and my family's life, and to have peace, man, what is wrong with that picture? Nothing. That's a gift from God. And if you've never experienced that peace that passes all understanding, it's waiting for you. If that's what you want, it's there. Got to give it to you. You know why? He's full of compassion. The problem is most people don't believe it, Pastor. They just do not believe that God can deliver them. They'll hear my testimony, they'll hear my story, and they'll look at me and go, you're just an exception. Man, they have no clue because they do not believe. When I go in that jail, when God called me to get into that jail, he put me through a test and he asked me 3 times, do you believe that I can deliver those people? Yeah. Dale, do you believe that I could deliver those people? And I kind of went, Dale, do you believe that I could deliver those people? And I had to look and say, oh my goodness, do I believe that? Do I believe he can take that gang member that's sitting across from me? Or that murderer that sits to my left, our left every week? Can he? Of course he can. Of course he can. Absolutely. I said, God, I do believe. They don't. So if you help me convince them, if you'd help me convince them with your compassion, Lord, I'll go in there. I'll stay in that jail. I don't care if I ever move from another jail. There's enough work in that jail to stay there for an eternity. Right. And that's where the Lord will have me. Then we'll stay right there. Right, brother? That's right. Till God calls one of us home, we'll stay right there. I don't need a big name out there. I don't need to travel around the different states. Allegheny County needs to be rebuilt. The foundations need to be built for the generations to come, it says. The breaches need to be restored. I mean, Jesus Christ needs to get back into Allegheny County and get these people's lives and change it. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 58. He says, be called the restorer of the breach and build up for the foundations. Why? For the generations to come. For the generations to come. Hey, there could be revival right here in Allegheny County. How about that? If one life changes in that jail and one man or woman goes back to their husband or wife and they get back and they start sitting in these churches, I'm just telling you, it could break loose in this place. The problem is people don't believe it. We don't have to go in there and tell them. Well, have you ever heard of Jesus? We don't have to tell them all that. We don't have to tell them there's a God. We have to convince them that there's a Bible. And there's a Savior that is real. That's what you have to convince them. But you got to convince them. They've heard of Jesus. They've heard of God. But they have no clue. They're clinging on to anything they can. You can go in there one day with the King James Bible. Go in there next with the NIV, ASV. You can go in there with the Koran and everything else. They'll grab onto whatever you offer them because they don't believe. We got to sit there and we got to let the Spirit of God take His word, and you got to preach to them and let God move in their life. Let the Spirit of God show them, just like He did me after sitting in 4 years sitting in my church as a lost person. God finally had to convince me. Man couldn't convince me that. God had to work that miracle in me with His compassion and convince me to believe. I can believe that thing. I can put my whole, I can, every single thing, I can stake it all right here. It's all right here. God had to convince me of that. Being in jail and prison, you know, 3 different states and rehabs and mental hospitals, I've met a lot of pastors and preachers, and so I was tired of hearing all their nonsense. Tired of it. And it took a person who really believed this Bible. Who really believed this. Who really lived this. To where I could see it. To convince me this is real. And then for 4 years, knowing that I was lost. Pastor Haynes, you guys know Pastor Haynes? If you don't, he had a church in Shingle House for almost 40 years. It was sitting in Reformers Unanimous when I realized that I was lost. In his church. How about that? God used that Reformers Unanimous to show me and my wife that we are lost. And I sat in that church for 4 years. Under conviction, horribly. Knowing that I was lost. But still, people are like, why can't you get saved? Look at all the studying and stuff you're doing. Because I would sit back in my heart and go, nobody can tell me I have to read. I don't have to listen to a pastor. When you pray, I don't have to pray if I don't want. I don't have to go to church if I don't want to. Oh, you rebel. God had to show me I was a rebel against Him. It was nothing that I did against mankind. I knew I was a rebel against mankind. But God had to convince me that I was still being a rebel against Him. That's when I got saved. That's when I got saved. And I remember the night, and I said, you know what? By the grace of God, me and my family will never miss the house of God again. Ever. Ever. Because every time I do, God gets to destroy my family. He convinced me of that pretty quickly. You know what? I am so happy that I don't have to miss it. There's been a few times I've had surgery. But you better believe it, the next time I was in that service. People are like, man, you shouldn't be here. Yes, I should. I like being here. Going to church doesn't bother me. It's not a chore for me to get up in the morning. I got staples all on my back, staples in my neck, people using a walker or a cane, and people are like, you shouldn't be here. Oh, yes, I want to be here. You're right, I don't have to be here, but I want to be here. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be preached to. I want what God has for me. I don't want to miss out on that baby myself. I'm going to church. It's not a chore for me and my family to get up and go to church. It's not a chore for me to get up in the morning and read my Bible and pray. Why? Because God gave me a new life. I lived like hell. I lived and put everything into living that way, and now I'm going to live for God the same way for heaven. Because He showed compassion on me when I shouldn't have had that compassion. He's changed my life forever and eternity. How about that? Hey, whoever saved in here tonight, we get to share heaven together. Woo! We get to see the same Jesus. Because He had compassion on me. How about that? Thank the Lord for it. He was moved with compassion and loosed them. Matthew 9:36 said, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. He saw them and they were hungry, and it says, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that's what God looked down on me and Amy and said, look, there's my sheep. They have no shepherd. They need somebody. Look, they're fainting by the wayside. They're getting close to the flames of hell. I'm just telling you, believe it or not, but I'm telling you right now, God sent Hannah Asquith to Genesee Community College to my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law, got to talking, and Hannah said, oh yeah, my dad just became the pastor at the Black Creek Baptist Church. What is the odds of that? There's Amy's mother. Amy's mother goes, please send your father to my son-in-law and my daughter. They're struggling. They're having a bad time. What's the odds of that? God knew what He was doing. He's about to have compassion on the Morey family. He's about to send them our way. He's about to do something that we didn't know was going to happen. I didn't plan this. Hey, was I looking for anything, Amy? We got done looking for churches. We were finished with it. Whatever happened, happened. Plain and simple. God said, oh, no, it ain't over. Oh, hang on. I'm coming, man. Woo! Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know why he was moved with compassion on them? Because they fainted. And they were scattered abroad as a sheep that had no shepherd. He had compassion to lead us through life because he knew no one else would care like he cares. I love my wife and she loves me, and I mean dearly. I mean, God has blessed us with a marriage where every year we grow closer, every year we grow more in love. And I used to think people were crazy saying that. And I live it now. I live it. I'm a breathing, living testimony that me and my wife have absolutely fallen in love more every year than we ever have, ever. That's a living testimony of what Jesus Christ can do to two broken people. And I mean broken people. God has given us that gift. He's given that to us. That's right. We both been married before. That's right. We both didn't know how to live a good life. That's right. We both did things we shouldn't have done, became drunks and whatever else. But you know what? God healed that thing. God had compassion on Dale and Amy Morey. God came in and healed that marriage. God came in and gave us a marriage worth having. You know why? He had compassion on us. Isn't that what he's all about? Having compassion on people that don't deserve it? Isn't that what mercy's all about? On people who don't... You think we deserve that for what we've done? No, we did not. No, we did not. You know what he told us? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Not only rest physically, but for your soul. How about that? It's a whole thing that God gives. Well, it would be nice if he just healed us physically. I would love to be rid of the pain that I'm in. I suffer horribly. You ask my wife. I mean, I suffer horribly with my back and my neck. But I'm okay. You know why? Because his grace is sufficient for me. He gets me through those days. You go, boy, you jump around and bounce around. I don't know what it is. Every time I get up to preach, I'm just telling you, God makes me feel like I'm a young kid again. But you ask her, I'll be paying a price tonight. I do. I pay a price. You know what? I don't mind paying that price. Because you know why? I paid a horrible price to be in sin. Now I'm paying an awesome price to be a servant to God. How about that? To my Father, the one who loved me and died for me. How about that? What a trade-off. I'm okay with it. I'm probably the least person that complains about why don't God take this away? Why don't God do this? Why don't God do that? I don't do that. You want to keep me here like this? Fine. Just give me the grace when I need it, God. That's what I ask. Just give me, help me when I need it. Okay? And you know what he does? He gives me compassion. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank him for his compassion. Because he says, come to me and I will, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're heavy laden in here tonight, if you're heavy laden and you're in a yoke of bondage, if you're oppressed, God says, you know what? I want to make you free. That does not have to be your life. You don't have to be trapped in that. It does not have to be any longer. If it is, it's because of you. It's not because God changed. It's because of you. Well, I just don't believe. Good. Now God can start all over because that's what God had to bring me to. God had to bring me to a point where I understood perfectly that I did not believe. And I came to God and I said, God, you already know this, but I'm going to tell you, I don't believe your Bible and I don't believe anything about that you have to say. He said, let's start now. Let's start now. And that's when the miracle of belief started in my life. I'm just telling you. It changed the whole outlook of my life when I finally became honest before God and was able to tell him that I don't believe. God's not mad at a person who don't believe and is seeking the truth. He's mad at the one who don't believe and could care less.
Yeah.
Okay? That's who he's mad at. God's not mad at the one who goes to him and says, I don't believe, Lord. You're right, I don't believe. But would you help my unbelief? Mark chapter 9. Okay, Lord, I believe, because we've heard all the stories and we've even seen what Jesus Christ done. I've heard it all, but Lord, help, I believe. Well, help my unbelief. That's what the Father stood there and said to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ just exposed to him that you don't believe. Mm-hmm. And the man said, you're right. I believe because I've heard the stories. I've heard the Bible. I've seen you change other people's life, but I don't believe you can do that for me. I don't believe. Instantly, as soon as he confessed that, The boy gets healed, and him and the father go their way. And I guarantee you, at home, if there was a mother and daughter, they got saved too. You know why? Because that belief ran rampant through their house.
Yep.
6 months after I got saved, Miss Amy got saved. How about that? You know why? Because belief came in that house. God had compassion, not just on me, but he had compassion on that woman sitting right there 6 months later. Why? Because belief started going through that house.
Yeah.
Okay? He killed Dale Morey, and he raised up a new Dale Morey in Jesus Christ. My wife, for those of you who don't know, my wife used to pray that God would kill me. She didn't want to divorce me because she loved me, but she couldn't take it anymore. And she prayed that God would kill me, and he did. He buried that old sucker and raised up a new one in Jesus Christ. How about that? Gave her a better gift. How about that, Abe? Woo! I'm not perfect. I'll be the first one to admit. I let my kids, they can tell you the stories. I'm not going to stop them because I'm not perfect. But I'm learning how to live in the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm learning how to live in his compassion. I don't know, because for 40 years, all I lived is one way. And now in 6.5 years, God's saying, I need you to live this way. Hey, that's a battle. But he's given the grace. He's changed me. Oh, you better believe it. This is not the same person you were looking at 6.5, 7 years ago. It's not. Why is that? Because I done it? My pastor sure couldn't do it. I was ready to punch him in his face many times. He couldn't change me. If the system, if rehabs, mental hospitals, and everything else couldn't change me, he wasn't going to change me. But Jesus Christ changed me. Jesus Christ fixed that hole in my heart. Jesus Christ fixed that void in my life. He's the one who came in and done it. I love my people. I loved my children. I loved my mother. My mother loved me. Did it ever stop me from doing those things? No. It never stopped me from doing what I wanted to do. I knew they loved me. And I knew that I had love for them. And I would look at my kids and deliberately say, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Ask my mother how many times she had to come see me in jails and prisons, rehabs and mental hospitals. Ask her. You think that because I did that because I cared for her? I could have cared less what she thought of me. Matter of fact, I used to bring my mom out stealing with me. I used to bring her out robbing places with me. That's how much I cared about my mother. It was the love of Jesus Christ and his compassion that stopped me.
Sure.
You see? The things of this world's not going to help a single person in here. I can promise you that. I've been there. I seeked it out. It did me no good. But Jesus Christ, when he stepped in, Pastor, he stopped it all. How about that? It all ceased. It all went away. The nightmares and all, the medicines, all that went away. He healed that stuff. You know why? Because I finally had to come to a place where I seen myself in his eyes. My preacher used to preach that all the time. The boy made me mad. I don't want to hear that. We got to see God. I got to see myself the way God sees me. It would tear me up. I mean, it would light a fire underneath me. Then he'd come to my house and try to talk to me. I'd kick him out of my house and threaten to punch him and everything else. Amy be in the corner crying. Don't punch him. Don't punch him. It's not going to change my love for you, Dale. But thank God he told me the truth about myself. As bad as it hurt, it pointed me here.
That's right.
It pointed me to the cross of Jesus Christ, and my family's been changed because of it. Been changed because of it. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the mercy and compassion that Jesus would have on somebody like me when I didn't deserve it. Matthew 20:34 said, Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight. That's physical and spiritual. God, Jesus Christ, when he healed a person, I don't think there's one time in there. I may be wrong, but I'm going to make a quote. And if I'm wrong, you can correct me. I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me. But I think every single time Jesus Christ healed a person physically, he forgave them their sins and he healed them spiritually, or they wouldn't have been made whole. He would have been lying by saying they'd been made whole.
Right.
He made them whole. He made them whole. Everything, physically and everything. You say, well, did he make you whole? Yes, he did. Look at me. I'm whole. Listen, I'm in better shape than I've ever been, regardless of the pain. I've lost over 50 pounds. I'm working now. I'm doing more things than I've ever done in my entire life. So yes, he has made me whole. Okay? Yes, he's made me whole. Just because I have body pain doesn't mean I haven't been made whole. I know that's a lot for people to wrap around their head, but I'm all right. My wife might not be all right all the time with it, but I am. She suffers a lot with it. And you know why? Because she loves me. She doesn't like to see. I mean, You like to see your loved one suffer? No, you do not. I'm almost done. Luke 1:40-41 says, "And there came a leper beseeching him, kneeling down and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, he moved with compassion and put forth his hand and he touched him. And he said, I will. Be thou clean." A leper. You know what leprosy is? Leprosy is a picture of sin in the Bible. And we have to come to Jesus Christ like that leper. Jesus, I'm unclean. I'm a sinner. Make me clean if you can. I will. Be thou clean. He takes that leprosy on himself. He takes that sin on himself. He takes that and he gives us his virtue. What a trade-off.
That's right.
He gives us life. He takes and makes us whole and he says, I will. Be thou clean. Woo! Man, if that don't get you excited, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you need to be touched by Jesus Christ to see what he can really do. Come to him as that leper. I was just reading it today in the book of Leviticus when the leper understood, when that priest went up to him and said, you're unclean. That leper understood that. You know what he did? I'm unclean! I'm unclean! I'm unclean! And he became naked. That's so prevalent in America today. When you see unclean people, when you see naked people, it's because they're caught in sin. It makes them naked. You know what the thing is? They're not listening to the unclean part. They have not listened to the pronouncement of Jesus Christ saying, you're guilty under sin. And I'm going to close with this. You know what he did? Here's the compassion of Jesus Christ. A picture of it in the book of Leviticus. When the priest walks up, and there's thousands of lepers, he didn't heal them all at once. You know what he did? He said, you, come here. One by one, he made them. He pronounced them unclean, and then he pronounced them clean. That's a personal Savior. That's a personal Savior. God, Jesus Christ, died for all. And then when they go to Jesus Christ, he deals with them one-on-one. How about that? Just like that priest did in the book of Leviticus. That clean, they could have been clean. They had to come to that priest and know that they're unclean. Jesus Christ, as a personal Savior, pronounces each and every one of us unclean, and then pronounces us clean when we realize that. How about that? What a blessing to have such compassion on people who did not deserve it. What a blessing to have compassion on us who are sitting in this room today. Even if you're not saved, do you realize that God has compassion on you because you're still taking a breath? You still have the long suffering. You still have the mercy of God resting on you. You still have a chance to make it right. You still have a chance to come to him as that leper and say, Jesus Christ, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Can you make me clean? And you must believe that he can. And when you believe that he can, he says, I will. Be thou clean. It's life-changing from there, my friends. If life-changing from there, would you come to Jesus as that leper today? Would you come and let him touch your life? Pastor, I'm done.